2013 with Richard Kingsmill
on Triple J.
Richard Kingsmill with you on 2013. Time to catch up with American band Cage the Elephant. They were in the country early last year for the big day out. These guys play huge shows in the US and also especially in the UK as well. They're about to tour over there early next year, and most of the dates in big venues have already sold out. They're still sort of building their profile here, but I think this third album of theirs, Melophobia, will do a lot to help their cause in Australia. They formed in Kentucky a number of years ago. There are five group. Matt Schultz is their singer, and I'm going to chat to him in just a moment on 2013 about what Melophobia is and about what they've tried to achieve with this new album. Let's hear a little bit of the current single from the band. With us. Are you about to go on stage in New York City tonight, are you?
I am, yeah.
How far away is showtime?
1 hour.
1 hour, fantastic. Listen, I appreciate you spending some time with us, because I would imagine leading up to a show, you'd get a little bit nervous and want to sort of concentrate on other things than do an interview, wouldn't you?
You know what? I wasn't nervous until you said that. No.
sorry about that.
You're making a... some shows I get nervous, some I don't, and so, I appreciate you taking the time to talk to me as well, so.
Okay, well, look, no problems. This is a great record, and we're going to be playing a lot of it on Triple J, so it's great to catch up and have a chat to you about it. We'll talk a little bit about the album in just a moment. I just actually, because I follow you on Twitter, and I don't know whether you have anything to do with your Twitter account for Cage the Elephant, but I just saw recently you sent a message to Iggy Pop, and I'm not sure what prompted it, but it was obviously very heartfelt and it was very complimentary towards him. What was there anything in particular that prompted that tweet to Iggy?
You know, I think it was probably my brother. I also admire and love Iggy Pop. Actually, I don't know why he wrote it to Iggy, but we're huge fans. We love his work. We love the fact that he, throughout his career, he was like the underdog. And who doesn't like rooting for the underdog, you know, especially when it's unfortunate that maybe their art wasn't as highly regarded as it should have been at that time. I mean, it's wonderful to see it come to fruition now, but we really, really love Iggy Pop.
Have you ever had a chance to meet him anywhere?
I haven't, although I did get on stage with him one time. There was we saw him at Lollapalooza, and he invited the audience on the stage, and I was running up to get on stage, and a security guard grabbed my foot, and I actually kicked the security guard off of me so I could have my moment on stage with Iggy.
How many years ago was this, Matt?
I believe that was like 2007, maybe.
So this is Cage the Elephant had formed. So you were in Cage the Elephant at that point.
Yes, yeah, it was the very, very early days.
Yeah. Well, anyone who's...
Actually, I'd just been turned on to Iggy Pop not too long before that, which is kind of a funny story. But we were playing a show in Knoxville, Tennessee, and somehow some glass got broken, and I was pretending to cut myself, and I saw the mortified looks on people's faces, so I actually did it, and bled into Lincoln's mouth, which... That was probably not very tasteful,
no.
But we did it. It was all in the moment. But anyways, at the end of the show, there was this older guy at the back of the crowd that was like, "You remind me of Iggy Pop." And, you know, I had never heard Iggy Pop's music or the Stooges, and had never seen him perform. But I'd seen on Almost Famous where they're like, "Iggy Pop." And so I knew he was like a cool guy to like. So I pretended that I'd heard him before. So I was like, "Oh, yeah, Iggy Pop's great." I went home that night and watched YouTube videos, and then realized that everything that I wanted to do was done 30 years before me.
It's a bit humbling when you realize that, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, he used to, that was kind of like some of his stage antics were obviously him just being caught up in the moment and, you know, doing things like cutting his chest and sort of putting on a very extreme performance. When you're on stage with Cage the Elephant, do you sometimes get really caught up in the moment and you do things that you would never imagine that you would have done?
Absolutely. When you perform, you hope to arrive at a place emotionally, the same place you were when you wrote the song, but to be able to convey that also to performance. And some of those emotions are pretty extreme. And so you do extreme things and you're not even thinking about it. Our producer said, you'll know you've had a great show when you can't remember anything that happens. And so that's kind of how it's been.
And does that happen often for you?
Very frequently.
Well, that's a good sign.
Yeah. Can't say it happens all the time, but...
No, of course. I mean, you can't always have one of those extreme performances or one of those great performances. It would just be totally unnatural.
That would be great. I would love to be unnatural in that in that way.
Yeah. Just on the subject of your producer, I mean, each of the three albums that Cage the Elephant have made has been with Jay Joyce, who seems like an extraordinary individual just in terms of all the people he's played with. But I actually didn't know this until I just looked up his credits. He actually played on one of my favorite Iggy Pop records. He played guitar on American Caesar.
Yeah, he did.
On American Caesar back in the early 90s. That's a great record. But he's worked with some really different people to Iggy Pop.
Yeah, he's worked with so many people. He's produced soundtracks to movies, and he's just a very diversely talented human being. And he knows how to pull out, like, the greatest potential of a person. He's not afraid to be confrontational. And so if something's not quite there, he'll tell you. That's one of the beautiful things and frustrating things about Jay Joyce.
As I said, he's produced each of your three records. Do you see a point where you would stop working with him?
No, I mean, not unless... For some reason, he decided to do so. With every record, I feel like both of us grow, and we push each other to grow. And especially on this record, it was very difficult at times, and it was very rewarding at times.
Hmm. I mean, one thing which has been commented by other people about Cage the Elephant is the diversity in the sound of each of the songs and your albums to date. This one, you're really kind of pushing yourself even further into new areas, new sonic areas. Is that him pushing you, or are you pushing him, or is it sort of a mutual thing?
I think it's a mutual thing. At the beginning of each record, we kind of set the direction that we're trying to go in. Once that soaks in today, then he just takes a hold of the concept of what we're trying to accomplish and starts to push us.
On Triple J, on 2013, we're having a chat right now with Matt Schultz, who is the singer from American band Cage the Elephant. There is more of this conversation to come. We'll talk about what Melophobia is all about, the title of their great new album. But let's hear a track right now. This one is called Halo. So the whole Melophobia title, which up until this point I had no idea Melophobia was actually the fear of music, but is that sort of tongue-in-cheek then, the title of the album?
You know, for us, it was fitting. It was a fitting title because it's not so much of an actual fear of music as it is a fear to create music, to project like premeditated images of self rather than to try to communicate an honest thought or a feeling, or, you know, to try to cater towards cool, or to write music to be perceived artistic or poetic or intellectual, rather than just standing and naked honesty, which is poetic and artistic and beautiful. I feel like when you make art to be art, you kill everything that's great about creative works.
I don't know. I mean, you and Brad, you're brothers, you're in the band. I don't know a lot about the upbringing of you guys in Kentucky, but from what I've read and from what I've heard, you say you didn't have a hugely, you know, well-off upbringing. You guys were sort of struggling. You didn't have a lot of money. I noticed on the liner notes here, I'm gathering that you've thanked your parents pretty personally for a lifetime of creative inspiration. First of all, is that your parents that you've thanked with that note?
Yeah, absolutely.
So if you didn't have a lot, you and Brad didn't have a lot of money growing up, was music still a big part of your life, and were you still exposed to a lot of
absolutely,
stuff?
Absolutely, absolutely. My father has always written songs and been a very creative person. My mother was always painting and encouraging us to be creative. And, you know, when you don't have a lot of money, you have to figure out creative ways to entertain yourself. I'm not saying that as if my parents were failures, because they weren't. It's hard times for our family, and so They've done the best job that they could have possibly done. And honestly, if I have talent in me or any kind of ability to stand in naked honesty and be creative, they're definitely a big element to that.
Did it actually matter for you and Brad when you were growing up? Were you conscious of it? Sometimes kids can be just completely oblivious to the surrounds and think that every family's going through this. Was it something that you and Brad knew was happening at the moment, that you guys weren't very well off?
When I was younger, I wasn't very aware. Brad got picked on brutally in school. Kids used to call him poor boy because, you know, all of our clothes were hand-me-downs from cousins, and we were on food stamps and child care and all that stuff. And so it was harder for Brad, I'd say, than it was for me when we were younger. But when we got in high school, my parents got divorced, and I got a job and really started to work hard. But I don't know. I don't think it – definitely don't grasp it fully when you're younger.
The combination of the sort of not having a lot of money and then the divorce when you hit high school, that must have been a sort of a double whammy a bit for you growing up.
In our lives, there's many unspoken adversities that have shaped the people who we are, but you know what? There's been a lot of people who've had it way worse than us.
So that sort of gets you through the hard times, doesn't it, when you realize that you're not the loneliest or the poorest person on earth?
Definitely something that helps, for sure.
Okay. Listen, I know you've got to go on stage soon, Matt, and I really appreciate, as I said before, you spending time with us and talking about this new album from Cage the Elephant. As I said, we're going to play a lot of it on Triple J. It's a really remarkable record. I was going to say to you before that, you know, rock music has been done many times over. It's very hard to reinvent the wheel with rock, but the thing that I like about Cage the Elephant is that you push boundaries and you try to do something which not everyone's doing at this point in time. So full credit to you for doing that. I actually want to go out by playing one of my favorite songs off the record, which is Take It or Leave It. And I really,
thank you so much.
Yeah, I really like Take It or Leave It. Can you tell me a little bit about how that one came about?
Yeah, that was actually one of the earlier songs that we'd written, and it didn't come together perfectly at first. It was one of the songs that was more of a struggle. The verse kind of fell into place pretty immediately, and we just couldn't find the right chorus. And so we don't really believe that you write a song that's more or less you find the song, because there's only so many tones in a scale, and all songs are composed of, you know, the same scales. So it was like, for us, we were waiting for that right things to come together. And it was driving me crazy, because it was one of those things with Jay that if the song's not finished, Jay won't acknowledge it as a song. And so we would be going through the list of songs that we had, and he's like, that's not a song. That just like drove me nuts the entire time. And one morning I got up, I grabbed the guitar, and I was like, okay, play the first thing that comes out. And I did, and I recorded it on my phone, and then I went up and took a shower, and when I came back down, I played it. I was like, sweet. I drove directly to Nashville and went in the studio, and we cut the song that day. And it worked out.
Wow, fantastic. It's nice to finish, tie those loose ends up, isn't it? It must annoy a songwriter when something's incomplete for so long.
Absolutely. Especially when you're not when you're not willing to abandon certain songs just because it's not happening. So it's kind of like a waiting game from there.
Yeah, it makes the rewards all the better when you get through it. Let's hear it right now from the Cage the Elephant album, Melophobia. This is Take It or Leave It. Matt Schultz, hopefully we'll see you in Australia sometime soon.
Absolutely.
for you. But every time I step to you, you change your tune. Sweet, we love death keeps us home.